All right, let's get started. Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to sit at our feet to hear thy word. We'll thank you for the apostle and the first family, Father. We'll thank you for all these students. And most of all, we want to thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, Father. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I found out one of the most extraordinary things, and I told you the last time before the apostle, man, you got to be a good truck driver. And what I mean by that is truck drivers know how to shift real good. And I tried to get back in the book. It ain't happening, Captain. We're going to stay on the line of prayer, but if you follow Apostle Coaster, he puts it on you. You got to study because he's studying. And by no means, you got to follow best you can and catch on. So we're going to pray with the help of the Holy Ghost tonight that we're going to deal with prayer, but from a great standpoint. All right? So let's buckle our seatbelts and get ready. Hanging and whipping now because I know where I'm going, but I don't know where I'm going. So just hanging in with me. I'm going to start off with the question. Why don't we pray as we should? What is hindering our prayer? Why aren't the scriptures we use in our prayer, why aren't they working as they should? I'm going to follow the question up with the answer with another question. The question is then, how do you see God? How do you see Him? And that's what we're going to deal with tonight a little bit. We're going to deal with being established in grace helps you see God properly in prayer. Being established in grace helps you see God properly in prayer. Now, it's very important how we see God because when it comes to the fight of our life, how we see God will affect our faith, and watch this, how we receive from it. How we see God is going to affect our faith and how we receive. So when we in prayer, Pastor, he dealt with a little bit in his last class, but when we pray now, how do you see God when you go in prayer? You got your scriptures. You got everything you need. But how do you see Him when you're in prayer? Do you see Him as a father who's sitting back, waiting for you to mess up, angry, ready to punish you, bring up your past, bring up what you did yesterday, last night, before you pray? Or do you see a giving, loving father with his hands open wide, waiting to receive Him? How do you see Him? All right? Your perception of God will determine the quality of relationship you have with Him. Watch this. And this in return will affect everything else. The way God's love with those around you, your relationship with your family, the way you handle hard times, the way you deal with people, the way you deal with adversity, but most of all, how you see Him will affect the way you pray. All right? Y'all with me? So, I'm about to see y'all something in a minute, boy. I'm just random. Go, Lord Jesus. Go ahead. All right, for the online students, she's asking me to go back over because they can't hear you. I'll make a statement again. Your perception of God will determine the quality of your relationship with Him. And this, in return, affects everything else. And you can have that relationship with those around you, your family, your finances, your health. It affects everything the way you feel. Now, when your hearts are established in grace, we will see the Father as He really is. Oh, God. When your heart is established in grace, see, we deal with this thing. If your heart is not established in grace, you really can't see the Father as He is. You won't see Him like that, the Father of the prodigal son, with an open arm ready to receive you despite your shortcomings. You see that? So when your heart is established in grace, you see him as a loving father, a gracious father, arms open and ready to receive you, even with your shortcomings. Now watch what happens. It will put so much faith in your heart to receive from him that if it's a miracle you need, it's a miracle you'll get. My prayer has changed now. Now when my heart is established in grace and I seek God properly, now I understand how I can come to the throne of grace with boldness and with confidence, because now I know it's the grace of God that gives me the ability to do the thing. And the way I see God now, I can go to him as a loving father. Yes, not as a father who's going to say, you know what you did last night? You know what you said last week? What, now, why are you in church? Why are you in church morning with your hands up? You know you was in dreams last night. You know you was with some angels. Come on, turn up, turn up. Turn down for what? I haven't seen the world with you, man. You must be moved. You was over there the other week with your jeans on, talking about, they call me Pokey. You know. But God says, look, when you come to the throne of prayer, you have to have what? Sometimes I've never been ready to forgive you. Get back in there, and when your faith is not activated properly, and my heart is starting to grow, it was a miracle I needed, a miracle I get. But still, what is that? Man, I love it. Woo, let the prayer go down for now. Hallelujah. I love the pastor. I'm holding that. Listen to the pastor. God is the pokey, but when you finish it, I'm a righteous God in Christ Jesus. And you're going to start singing, I'm no righteous. There you go. Exodus 17. Hallelujah. Exodus 17. It's all right. Exodus 17. Oh, Lord Jesus. But here we talking about that. We're talking about being established in grace, trying to see God properly in prayer. Exodus 17, look at verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto these people, this people, that they might they be almost ready to stone me? Now they was hot, they was mad. Moses brought them out. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith and thou smitest the river. Take thy hand and go. Verse 6. Behold, when I stand before thee upon there upon the rock, the hero, and thou shalt smite the rock. Somebody say, smite the rock. And there shall come water out of it. And the people may drink, and Moses did in the sight of the elders of Israel. Boy, we can have a good time, but this night. I had never saw this before. Now, watch what it says. God told Moses to do what to the rock? Strike the rock. So the people could get something to drink. And their thirst would be quenched. The animals would have something to drink. All that stuff would happen. Then just do what to the rock? Watch this now. You see grace all the scriptures now. This was a symbol of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. It showed Jesus being smitten. It also showed us Jesus as a supply of our needs. So now, when Moses struck that rock, Lord have mercy, Moses became a fool from the rock. Come on. See, Moses is a symbolization, not just water, but everything you need fell from Jesus. Prosperity the fell from Jesus. Healing fell from Jesus. Deliverance flow from Jesus. Breakthrough flow from Jesus. Whatever you need it, it flow from Jesus' God. Now I understand that with a woman, she's in the world. He said, God, I'm in the world. Jesus, he called him the living world. You see, and that world began to flow from the rock. But it was an example of Jesus being crucified. Now watch this. After all Moses did for those people, brought them out of Egypt, they delivered them. The Bible said they started complaining. They started questioning. They said, we don't have it. But notice the grace of God. Not one time did he get mad at those people. He gave Moses one example to take care of the folk. He didn't say smiter. He didn't say killer. You ungrateful for no good, wretched thing. Got a good job. And now you're coming here mad because you ain't got no work. He said, I know what to do, Moses. Smite the rock. Show him Jesus on the cross. Let him see from his back. I tell my witness. Tomorrow, when we pray, I've been hearing myself. I'm about to tell you something. Tomorrow, this is what I'm telling you. Here's a new best music for y'all for prayer. Prayer, that's what I'm about to say. Now, I'm about to tell you something. No, I haven't seen that yet. But, go to number 20. This one right there, David Bowen, a little bit better. Number 20. Because you get behind the prophet, he's so far ahead, you gotta try to fill his prayer. Yes. Number 20. Now I have to give you a definition of prayer. From this day forward, we know prayer is communion with God, but I want to help you a little bit so you're gonna change your mindset when you pray. So if that guilt is trying to get on you, you can get rid of that quick. Prayer is simply speaking to the rock. What? I say prayer is speaking to the rock. Let's back it up with scripture. You have number 20? If I had no thought about thoughts, then I couldn't wait to get the class, boy. Look at verse 6. Number 20, verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle and congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of God appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now watch what he said. Take the rod, gather the assembly together, and Aaron, thy brother, now watch what he said. And speak ye into the rock before their eyes. And it said, give forth his water. And God said, bring forth them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give it, give the congregation, and their beast water. Praise God. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he was commanded, and Moses gathered the congregation. He said to them, pray ye not, ye rebels, must ye fetch you water out of his rock. And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod, and he slipped the rock twice. And the water came out of it. And the congregation dragged in the beast also. Notice what happened here. The first time he told Moses to do what? Smite the rock, smite the rock. This time he told Moses to do what? What did he tell him to do? Ah, Lord. We got two different stories here, God speaking. Well, he told him, he said, I need you to do something. The second go round, I told you, just speak. The first time he was crucified. This time, I can give you to speak. What we've been trying to do in our prayer, say, Lord Jesus. We've been trying to crucify Jesus Christ. All I know is an old sinner down here saying, no. We don't confess. Moses just told you that confession, that confession of sin wasn't for the Christians, it was for the Jews who wouldn't accept Jesus. So if you have an accurate confession or wrong belief, neither scripture will even work when you try to pray. Because you're trying to crucify Christ. Wow. Ah, Lord. But because Jesus was sent with a fall, God now wants you to simply speak to the darker rock so your needs will be met. So when you go in prayer, you go in with your heart established in grace. Know that you're the righteous son, the righteous daughter of Jesus Christ. And now everything I need of God when I speak to the rock is back to flow. I said it back to flow. share the gospel with him. We have to go to faith. It cannot be, Lord, I'm believing for this position. I get it. Is it be my will? What do you mean, is it be my will? I have both guys. I used to burn when people say, when you make a statement, they say, I see how to move. Is the Lord's will? I see tomorrow. So you need to tell me, God might want to kill me from now to the hell. I was going to say, he come that I have life and have life more bitterly. But you mean to tell me, now if I see the man, I got to be looking at him, God might try to knock me out. That's a confession, man. Can I say it? Hallelujah. All right. So now, when we pray, watch this now. Now when you pray, you no longer have to wonder if God wants to bless you. You ain't got to wonder. You don't have to wonder, Lord, do you want it? No, you don't. Listen. I already sent it with Israel across. So to see what happened was, Moses now felt like he had to do some type of work. Because the first time, he had to smoke the rock. My Lord, I'm going to make this happen. And he didn't care them people calling people no good, no way. He was a kind of rebel. Because he was hot. Because he thought he had to do something. See, the problem is in prayer. Too many times people don't thank God they're unprepared because they think they got to make it happen. But my God, you ain't got to do nothing but speak your mind. All right? The rock has already been struck. The walls are flawed. Say the walls are flawed. Everything you need, the rock is flawed right now as we speak. As we sit in the car right now, I'm telling you what, we're all going to mess with that. I'm telling you, you're strong right now. Your mind is strong right now. Your stomach is strong. You're feeling strong right now. Everything is so strong. Everything is strong right now. So I hope God has found you grace when you see God popping now, and now can we see a problem, everything got to fit. I hear you, Lord. We've been having a spiritual struggle in the way. You know, if you put the toilet and the top of that table is torn, we will remove that spiritual stuff with this man, but we need this people. Everything got to flow. Lord, because he's a son of truth, we can expect to be blessed, redeemed, and healed in every area of our life. See? Here we see Jesus was the rock, right? So when we run into a problem, we simply speak to what? All right? But go to John 1. So now when our hearts are starting to grace, we're not only speaking to the rock, but we're speaking to some other things, too. We're speaking to some other things. Look at verse 13. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten, of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is before me. And for he was before me. And his fullness have we received. And grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. So now, not only are we speaking to the rock, but we're speaking grace and truth. So we're praying now. We're saying our hearts have a grace. Every time we're going to pray, we're speaking grace and truth. Grace and truth. So how do we speak to the rock? How do we speak to the rock? You speak to the rock by agreeing with God's word, by saying what he said about the situation in his word. That's what we call a true confession. I feel like I need to say it again. We speak to the rock by agreeing with God's word, by saying what he said about the situation in his word. That is a true confession. Watch this next statement. When we pray, we must make sure that what comes out of our mouth is true and correct, and it lines up with God's word. If you look at it, we've been going in prayer speaking some things that's not true or correct, and it don't line up with God's word. People are giving you marriage advice. Baby, the way to his heart is to his stomach. Please show me that in the Bible. See, y'all know what I'm saying? So we're going to go to the Bible and say, but they need a scripture, but we're putting out a prayer. God's going to respond to that. It ain't. Oh, God. We must get our hearts established in grace. And what it is, we will speak, and the word will just begin to flow. And whatever we need is in our mouth. That's why there's a scripture that is in Luke. It says, for the kingdom of God is where? Within you. So the only thing I need is in my mouth. But the problem is, it ain't coming out because I ain't been seeing God properly speaking up. Everything I need is in me. The best way I can describe this to y'all, this is just how I see the screen room right now. I'm trying to just put what's in my head in like a big movie projector screen. But that thing is, the Niagara Falls there blocked up or something. But sometimes they'll open it, and that water will just. Y'all ever seen that girl Hughes or something? That's what I just saw your life like with everything in your life right now. That's what I'm saying. Try to get a standing base and pray, and begin to speak to the rock and the water flow. It's just a big deal. I can't even explain it. It's just a bunch of. It's 3 times, 500 million times worse than the thing that did New Orleans. Water just. It's all right, New Orleans got. I see you with a wet life right now. A wet life. Man can know when I pray and speak. Look, you know what? Where are you going? I'm going to be wet. I'm telling you, he's a gracious father.
I'm going to show you a scripture in a minute. I'm going to find it. I think I got it in there somewhere.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Matthew 7, look at verse 11. If you being weeping, you ought to give good gifts to your children. How much more to your Father which is in heaven, give good things to them by asking. You know what? I'm about to make a statement to you. Right now. At this present moment, despite how you feel, what you've done, what you've experienced, what you're thinking about doing, God is still thinking about you and have a smile on his face because he has something wonderful prepared for you. Through the grace of God, despite what's going on, God is always smiling on you. Say, I got something good for you. I'm going to say grace to a woman. Who would just kill people for no God or reason? Just kill them. Lost their bow for nothing. But that mama. What? You could have just seen 500 people. But that's how true it is. Well, I don't realize that's just a baby no more. That's the grace mama understands. Now, this one has much more grace than mama. But mama can only have a kind of family. What is mama going to do to me? Because I'm not prepared. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Come on, y'all talking about baby family now. This is a family. Yeah. Man. No matter what, she's always smiling on me. Let's go to the scripture. He said, what is it? He said, he has an extension here. That means something going on prepared for you. What's it? He said, he gives you a gift. I ain't saying it right. He ain't taking it back, though. He said he's going to pay for the gift he gave you. This is the kind of God we serve. You do not serve a God that got the gift. Wait for you to sit back. Wait, I hope she messed up. I was waiting. Because she messed up, I'll make a record call. That's the kind of God we've been preparing. Right. You know, we just said we had a bit of something happen, and everything, and they lay you off. Yeah, I said, that's what happened. When you get, I shouldn't have did that. I wouldn't have got laid off. But you get laid off anyway. You get laid off anyway. You get laid off anyway. You want to, look. Look what we do. God, I'm telling you about y'all. You bear with me. Something happened. My mama and uncle somebody died. And all of a sudden, he said, yeah, I knew how God teach me something. I could have been out there like that. But look, what's going to take with me, son? I'm going to tell you about a God, and I think killing my family, but then my life is killing. That's what we talked about earlier. I'll see you tomorrow. It'll be the Lord's will. Hold on, what you mean? Hold on, I'll say, what you mean? It'll be the Lord's will. What you mean? You mean God kill y'all? I'm not saying that. don't want to say y'all God name. I'm good. Let me take my hat. I'm good. I've been living this long. See, the problem is, many people have different ideas of what a father is. Why? Because some have never had a father. Some were abused or molested by their father. Some people didn't even want to own their kids. But I'm going to get money for y'all. Which is Psalm 68. I said, I got some good news for y'all. Psalm 68. They said some good news. I didn't even read the whole thing. I'm going to read the first part. Psalm 68 and 5. He's going to say, he's a father of the what? Oh, Lord, he said, it doesn't matter what kind of father you might have. God said, I'm going to be a father to the father. And he said, I'm going to marry my children. I'm going to give you a little voice in your head. And not seeing a father as one who loves you, but as one who ready to punish you. I'm not going to go there, but you know, Revelation says, 12, that he's an accuser of the brother. And all he wants to do is accuse you of breaking the law. Let's finish, let's finish with, John. John 15. I told you, y'all, look, when you leave here this evening, when you walk down the steps and walk the door, expect to get hit. Lord Jesus, look for the water flow. I don't care what comes your way, I thought either. No. Talk about getting your car, your phone, your phone, your phone. Talk about the people on the phone, the picnic, something. What are you looking for? I don't think you're going to take me I was not really Christine, but that's why the Lord gave me no more. Because my personality is too strong for sinners. Okay. I'll be all in one about living the apple sinners. Okay, I'll be one of the preachers on the keyboard in the pulpit. I just heard a song in my head. It's sitting right now. I was singing my prayer. Well, no, what it meant? Bishop Mike. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Well, let it rain, Lord. I feel like, man, let it rain. Let it rain, too. Let it rain. I'm going to get it right now, boy. I'm telling you. John 16. Look at verse 8. I'm about to tell you something. And when he has come, he reproved the world of sin and of righteousness. We look at earth and of judgment. Now watch verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. Let's help you with prayer. Notice verse 9, or verse 8. He said, and when he is come, he will prove the world of what? Notice he didn't say sin. Sin. Because we went over it. One reason only. There's only one sin that the Holy Spirit would ever convict you of. And that's not believing on the name of Jesus. That's the only sin he'll convict you of. Now, why is that so important? Because now when my heart is established and great, and I see God properly, now when I pray, I go in with a clean heart, with a clean mind. Seeing God in a certain way, not as a judgmental God. I won't go in carrying all my weight, my shortcomings, because it's gone. Do you see that? See, so what happens is we think,
I'm telling you, oh Lord, I've been there. I'm talking about me. I don't know about you. You be doing, you be praying. Now he'll bring something you get up and hey, green. You see somebody. I'm like, this is crazy. So how did that girl pay for something? She was getting hot. So you just say, oh, kill me. You just, hey, keep your attention. Talk to him, talk to him. I think you're going to lie. I can't even think of it. So you got to love Jesus. I don't know. God, oh, please forgive me, Lord. Everything I did since 6th grade. I'm serious. You start thinking about your college day. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. High school day. You start thinking about, oh, Lord, when you first got married, Jesus Christ. I feel it was boy. I told my wife, when I first got married, this is when I first got married, I ain't no nothing. She bought a living Bible in my house. She put out my house. Ain't no nothing but a King James Bible. What's wrong with you? I'm going to go to the house. Our hearts must be a standing grace because if not, we will see an Old Testament God who you think is always out to judge you and correct you. Alright? Let's finish with Psalm 103. You're in Psalm right now. Okay, go to Psalm. We'll finish with this right here. Let y'all. Yeah, man. You start holding your stuff. This is mad. You first got mad. I call them your dumb years. You don't know nothing. You don't know how. That's dumb. Yep. I'm not ahead of this house. I'm still ahead. You get the next. That's all. The year go where it's next to go. See, he's got an Old Testament God, wasn't a judge, correct you. He may have judged in the Old Testament, but that's not his heart. See, he may have judged the Old Testament, but that's not his heart. Well, look at Psalm 103, look at verse 8. The Lord is merciful. He's gracious. Slow to anger, but he is in mercy. He will not always try, neither will he keep his anger forever. And I like the message to raise up there, and the message to say, he won't be mad for long. Hallelujah. So he's not out to get you. He's got to bless you. He's got to make sure you get everything he promised to you. Amen? All right, we'll pick up next week. God bless you.